welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to start in a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's just admonishing the Ephesians about something they have and something that is available to them in their darkest hour. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, a lot of times we look at this amazing passage of Scripture and we look at the armor of God. We look at these pieces of armor and we're grateful that God has provided us this armor to protect us, to be part of our life. But it's important as we're looking at what we call the armor of God, the different various pieces, is to see in this passage of Scripture the broader context that the armor of God is being talked about. He's saying, put on the whole armor of God, that, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, he's saying, you're putting this on that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. The last verse down there, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So, it's important as we're looking at the armor of God to understand why we have this armor. We have this armor so that we can stand against demonic attack. And he's very clear, it's not flesh and blood. One thing that the powers, principalities, spiritual hosts, they're all invisible. They're not something you're going to see with your eyes. And yet they're real. They're spiritual forces. And the ability to stand against those things have to do with what we do with the armor of God. He said, when you put on this armor, you are going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, stand in the evil day. Now, if you've been a believer for very long, you know there's a difference between an attack and the evil day. Okay? When you're in the evil day, it's like a lot of stuff going on at once, okay? And you're having to, you know, deal with, it could be relation, financial, health, it's all these, there's like an evil day, it's almost the old adage, everything that can go wrong goes wrong. Well, spiritually, you're just feeling the attack on all sides. And you kind of know the right things to do, but it seems like it's hard. It seems like it's hard to get out from this thing. It's an evil day. Your darkest day. And the Word of God says there is hope, there is promise in the evil day when everything is going wrong. I mean, when you're in that day, you long for just an attack. That would be fine. This is not just an attack, the good old days of an attack. This is bigger than an attack. It's an evil day. It's not an evil morning or an evil afternoon. It's a day. It's an era. It's a period of time. This is not, The evil day isn't talking about a one-liner victory, I resist you in the name of Jesus, amen, and it's all over and the birds are singing. It isn't. This is a day, and it requires armor, and it requires a standing. But in our darkest evil day, we've got a promise from the Word of God. Now, the title of the message, and it's going to be this week and next week, it'll be a two-parter, but it's called Standing in the Evil Day. Now, if you'll notice the picture that I'm using the same picture that I used last week, which was called Shelter in the Secret Place. And I want this visual to be connected with the message from last week. If you didn't hear the message last week, there would be some value in that, because there's a 1-2 punch, if you will, as it relates to getting our victory in Jesus, as it relates to the evil day and overcoming things. The scripture puts it this way. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And really, our message last week was the submitting to God, pulling into God, finding shelter in the secret place. I don't even know what to do next, but I'm going to pull in to the presence of God. I'm going to pull into the Word of God. I'm going to set my love upon Him. That's what I'm doing. What am I doing? I'm submitting myself to God. I'm preparing my heart, really, to hear what He has to say. There is a submitting to God. And when we talk about resisting the devil, it doesn't start with resisting the devil. It starts with submitting to God. So finding shelter in the secret place, that heart of pulling into God, first and foremost, is number one. Loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. But also in the same manner, just because it doesn't start at resisting the devil, it doesn't stop at submitting to God either. We still have to go on and resist the devil. Amen. Both of those thoughts are important. Both of those thoughts are related. Both of those thoughts involve this kind of an image. We are going to submit to God, but we're also going to be taking a posture where we're resisting the devil as well too. And what does the Apostle Paul give us? He gives us the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God. Now, and again, the reason I'm keeping the picture up there to tie them together is because sometimes we compartmentalize these. We'll have the shelter in the secret place. I love God. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I just want to la, la, la. I just love God. That's who I am. I don't want to deal with the devil. Whether you want to deal with him or not, you got him to deal with, all right? He is your adversary, and he does roam about seeking whom he may devour. So he's there. You can't ignore him, and he'll go away. He's there, okay? So there is the shelter in the secret place where we're running to God to get safety and protection and experience his presence and experience his love. But there is also going to be a standing in the evil day. Now, this is where we can compartmentalize these two and think that standing in the evil day is all about the devil. It's all about him. And all of a sudden, I'm just focused and concentrating on the devil and what he's doing. That's not scriptural. It's not like over here I'm God conscious, but over here I got to get devil conscious. Not true. That's not what the Word of God says. When I'm standing in the evil day, I'm not just standing against the devil, I'm standing in the armor of God. How do I resist the devil? How do I stand in the evil day? I stand in the evil day by putting on the armor of God. I am focused on the armor of God. My mind is on the armor of God. I am God armor conscious, and that's what makes me strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and His armor. So when we talk about resisting the devil, standing against him, we're not going from a sweet, loving God devotion secret place to an angry warfare devil conscious mentality at all. There are more ways of resisting the devil. There is I resist you in the name of Jesus, but there are ways you resist him, and he won't even be on your mind. You're doing things in God that is repelling him, and he's not even on your mind. There are things you're pursuing in God that are automatically, what does the scripture say about sin? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you begin to put on the armor of God, you're doing it with a God consciousness and you're creating a protection around you as you are God conscious about His armor that's making you strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So as you're standing in His armor and you're God conscious and you're strong in His might. I love the way somebody put it to us once in Bible school. Every day I get up is not another day to fight the devil. It's another day to live for God. And if the devil gets in my way, I'll resist him. I'll take care of what I've got to do. But I'm focused on God. It's not just here in the sweet shelter of the secret place. It's here when you're standing in the evil day. You're God conscious. You're God conscious in His armor. Thank you. Thank you for those amens. Amen. I will keep going. I'm preaching it like this because I'm just telling off on me. All right. And maybe some of you. We can kind of get in another mode when we're fighting the devil. We're not supposed to get in another mode. This is a God-pursuing mode. When you're standing in the evil day, you're putting on this stuff. You know, when you put on your clothes in the morning, they don't just jump out the drawers and come on you. You got to be intentional about the clothes you put on. There's an effort on your part to put those clothes on. Same way with putting on the armor of God. It doesn't just jump on you. You're going to put it on. You're told to put it on because you got to put it on. So there's a proactive putting on the armor of God that's going to make you God conscious. Conscious of who you are. Conscious of what you have. It's not you versus the devil twisting in the wind, hoping you're going to win today. Not at all. This is you in the armor of God, standing in His armor. I just want you to get that picture. Because that's what we're going to talk about, you know, this week and next week. We're going to talk about the armor. You know, we're going to be, you know, bullet pointing the different pieces of the armor, okay? But it's really not an armor of God message. It's a standing in the evil day message. Because those armor pieces are listed there for the broader purpose and context of standing in the evil day. So we're going to look at those pieces as it relates to standing in the evil day and how that fits. And you'll notice to stand in the evil day, you need the whole armor of God. If it's just an afternoon attack, the breastplate of righteousness might get you through, all right? If it's just a zinger. But if you're going to stand in the evil day and it's coming at you from all directions, you got the tornado and the meteor and the lightning and the rain. Say, oh man, yes, you got to have the whole armor of God because He's not going to just poke you in one area. He's going to be doing this. But when you got the whole armor of God on, you can stand in the evil day. That's a great promise. So that's what we're going to look at this week and next. Putting on that whole armor of God as it relates to standing in the evil day. The first thing that we've got is the belt of truth. The belt of truth, which is the Word of God. Jesus told His disciples, I've given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. In other words, we're in this world, the devil, the evil one is in this world, you know, trying to do those evil days on us. He says, I'm not going to take you out of the world. We're down here for a purpose. Like David is saying in the worship that we're here. We're destined to be here for this time. There's destiny that we're here. So He's not going to take us out of the world. There's good works He's ordained us to walk in. But He's given us His truth. He's given us His word. That word sanctify means to set apart. You know, when you kind of look at this picture, that house is sanctified. It is set apart from the stuff that is going on. What is setting that house apart? There's a shield around it. There's a separator, barrier. And God has given us something in this world where the evil one still is to protect us. And that's the truth of the Word of God. And that's why he starts out by saying, gird yourself with that belt of truth. There is a truth. What does the truth do? The truth does this. All scripture is given by, is inspired by God, this truth, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. In other words, the Word of God lays out truth and error. It defines what the Spirit is, what it looks like. It defines what flesh looks like. It defines what godly wisdom looks like. It defines what demonic wisdom looks like. It gives us knowledge. It gives us information to let us know what's right and wrong. Because when you're going through those different times and trials, your mind is just going in all directions. And you might even know, as your mind is going in all directions, I shouldn't think that, or I shouldn't say that, but, you know, and going on. When you put on the belt of truth, you are choosing to hold yourself accountable mentally to the Word of God. Yes. I'm girding myself with the belt of truth. What is this? This isn't, now you should do this, and you should do that, and a good Christian does this. This isn't about that anymore. This is about standing in the evil day. If you want to stand in the evil day, you're going to have to put on this belt. You're going to have to be intentional about saying, I've been kind of letting my mind just go everywhere. I got to rein this thing in. I got to gird myself with the belt of truth. There's a mental accountability here. The Scripture's there for a reason, not to religiously nag me. It's there to show me what's right and wrong so I can stay out of the devil's territory. So I can stay out of those thoughts. You know, I love that beautiful picture where you've got Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's wanting her to help her. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good thing. And it will not be taken away from her. And that's kind of the way it is when you find shelter in the secret place. And you're sitting at his feet and you're enjoying fellowship with God. But when those battles and those meteors are coming, it's amazing how quickly you can get up from Jesus' feet and start fighting in your own strength, and start fighting in your own mind, different things like that. But what is the Word of God? What does that truth gird us to do? It keeps us sitting at his feet. So when we get a thought that's off the rails, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You can see that if I'm serious about wanting to stand in the evil day, there's a girding myself with the belt of truth. In other words, I'm holding myself accountable. I'm not talking about somebody else nagging you. I'm talking about me holding myself accountable to the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, this is where you begin to grow in the Word of God. Because nobody is born with an understanding of the Word of God. That belt is kind of like you kind of think of, and I'm not about the self-defense stuff or karate, whatever, but you kind of start out with a white belt when you're getting started, and then you green belt, and you work your way up to a black belt, all right? Well, we all start out with a white belt, you know? You might not know two scriptures that you could rub together to save your life. You don't know, right? But I'll tell you what, when you're standing in the evil day, it gets you in the Word of God. It'll get you, Lord, what does your word say? If I got to gird myself with truth, I need to know truth. I need to hunger and thirst. I need to get in. What does the Word of God say about these things? And there are some great books that can get you started, some precious Bible promise books, things like that where you're going through something and you find the scriptures that kind of match the thing you're going through. What is that? That's going to help gird yourself with the truth of God's word. It has that girding effect. It has that ability to hold yourself accountable mentally to the Word of God, okay? 1 Peter puts it this way, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. These are just different translations. New Living, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Amplified, so brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert. So roll up your sleeves and put your mind in gear. Amen. This is putting on the belt of truth. There is going to be an intentional decision to put on this clothing. And again, this is spiritual clothing. But what are we doing? This isn't making me devil conscious. This is making me Word of God conscious. This is making me accountable to what God's Word says. Right. It's when I'm not, when I don't have this belt on and I just allow my mind to go everywhere I want to, that demonic wisdom is kind of enticing, you know? The wisdom that's from above, it's going to be pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Demonic wisdom is not peaceable. It's not gentle. It's not easy to listen to. It's not full of mercy. It's not full of good fruit. It's full of partiality. It's full of hypocrisy, and it's sown in strife. This is why we got to have that belt that says, nope, that's not God wisdom. God's wisdom sounds like this. Demonic wisdom sounds like that. I'm holding myself accountable. I want to stay at the feet of Jesus and listen for his wisdom. If I don't have that belt of truth on, I will be deceived, and I'll find myself sitting at the feet of the evil one, listening to everything that he has to tell me and going, yes, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. And it'll work up that hatred and that anger, and you know this isn't right. How do I stop it? Well, we got to be intentional. I'm going to have a belt of truth. And what does that mean in real life, where faith meets real life? Have a few scriptures that are your go-to scriptures. For me, I like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Is this making me lie down in green pastures? Is this leading me beside still waters? Is this restoring my soul? I what am I doing? I'm girding myself. I'm holding myself accountable to the word of God. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What am I doing? Again, this has nothing to do with inspirations or feeling. I'm girding. This is something where I'm using the weapons of my warfare to bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is where there's a girding of yourself. And then finally, what is the word, when we're talking about the word of God, we got to realize this isn't just a mental exercise where I'm storing information and retrieving information. The word of God is special. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When I'm girding myself with that belt can pierce to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God can call things out that my natural, frail human reasoning can't see through. The word of God that speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, yes, and effective. Yes. That's what the word of God can do. Yes. When that word of God gets in you, it has that ability. You know, there's a discerning ability in the word, when that word gets in you, that discerning ability gets in you too. And all of a sudden, when you get that strong argument of thought, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, say, hey, that's demonic wisdom. I can see through it because the word is operative, energizing, and working in me. That belt of truth, again, it's not a religious mental exercise. It is putting the word of God. That's what Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth, Father. Your word is truth. Your word is going to be that barrier that's going to keep them from the evil one. Your word is the one that's going to cause them to see through the meteor, see through the tornado, see through the lightning. There is a wisdom and a discerning and a girding of truth. And again, we're all starting. We're all at the white belt to the green, yellow, green, whatever, all the way to, the black belt. I don't know if that's the biggest one or not, but we're working our way toward growing in the knowledge of God. And there's a hunger and a thirst, and we can all grow in this area. We can all learn more and grow more, but the main thing is to have that base scripture, just a couple scriptures that you go to that becomes your center again in the storm, because that's what girding up the loins of your mind and engaging it, saying, okay, I'm not going to let myself just run wild up here. I'm putting on the belt. If I'm going to stand in the evil day, that belt has got to be on. I got to put on the whole armor of God, which is putting on that belt and saying, okay, Lord, and help me. And I want to grow in my knowledge of you as well, too. But that word is powerful. It's kind of like when you have, when you put that word in you, you may not even feel, or you're speaking that word. Like I said, you know, Psalm 23 or Psalm 1 or Ephesians or James chapter 3, as far as, you know, discerning wisdom and calling things out, there's different things, but at the point in time when you're declaring the word or you're meditating or you're feeding on the word, you may not necessarily feel a bunch of inspiration while you're doing it. You're just doing that by faith. You're doing it as an accountability. But that word of God is working in you. It's kind of like when you have your breakfast in the morning, you sit down, you have your bacon, eggs, pancakes, whatever it is, cup of coffee. You know, you have your breakfast in the morning, you feel good, you're satisfied, and you get up and you're done with breakfast and you go on your way. You may be done with breakfast, but breakfast isn't done with you. You've put that breakfast in you. And that breakfast is going to be working in you. It is going to be active, operative, energizing, and helping you physically, naturally. When you put that word in you, you had your devotion time, you had your time. You may be done with your devotion time, but your devotion time isn't done with you. When you spend that time in the word, it isn't done with you. It's working in you. You're walking around with just a sense, and this isn't emotional inspiration. This is spiritual substantive discernment and power. It's an investment. It's putting on that belt. It's intentional. Say, I'm going to put on this belt. I'm going to put on the Word of God. Because when you begin to get in the Word of God, you begin to get familiar again with what God sounds like, how He thinks, how He reasons. Those themes of love keep coming back through in the Word of God when you begin to read His Word and you get familiar with His voice again. So there is that. There's an intentional putting on what we'll just call the belt of truth. But then there's also what we'd call the breastplate of righteousness. All right? The breastplate of righteousness. And this one is huge. I mean, the grace of God is the breastplate of righteousness. And as you are standing in the evil day, you're putting on that truth of God's word, but there is another thing that you're continually putting on. It's a breastplate of righteousness. And this is where you are reminding yourself and you're staying stirred up in what the grace of God has done in your life. There's really three areas we're going to look at here regarding the three areas of scriptures, the breastplate of righteousness. First of all, this is the way the scripture tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you may, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The Amplified says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental, spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. This is where we're standing in the evil day and we're shaking ourselves and reminding us of who we are, putting on the whole armor of God. They're all big. This is another big one, where we're putting on that new man. We're putting on the righteousness that was given to us in God. I didn't pay for the breastplate of righteousness. I didn't do anything in exchange for it. That breastplate of righteousness was given to me as a child of God. So let's just take a quick little bit of a righteousness refresher. Let me say this too. As we're going through this message, as we're going through the sermon, as with any sermon at Door of Life, the messages are always available, audio, video, but also we have a PDF, just a little download document of all of our sermon notes. So if you're ever kind of going through and say, what's that breastplate of righteousness stuff again? You can always get these notes anytime you want, all right? You can download them with anything. So because sometimes we just need reminders of, you know, where things are in the Word of God. So here's a key as it relates to righteousness is remembering, as I'm putting on that breastplate of righteousness, it's a gift. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace, that's us, and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life, stand in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, why do we ultimately go to heaven when we die? You can't stand in the presence of a holy God as a sinner. You stand in the presence of God because you've been made righteous. And there's no boasting, there's no pride, it is the gift of God. And even though we might know that theologically in the evil day, you got to stir yourself up and remind yourself, I've been made righteous. I have a gift of righteousness. This is nothing that I've earned. It's humbling my heart back to the grace of God. You know, a sinner, an unbeliever, can just feel, who do you think you are? You know all that, but we know what we mean. We don't think we're anything special. We know that we got to humble ourselves and admit that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, to get into the kingdom of God. That's just humble yourself as a little child, Jesus said, before you can enter the kingdom of God. Well, you're going to have a similar inflection point in the evil day where you're going to have to humble yourself all over again and say, I am saved by grace through faith. I'm not standing in my spiritual maturity right now. I'm standing in an armor that was given to me. I'm humbling my own heart and saying, thank you, Lord. The only reason I got this breastplate of righteousness is because you gave it to me as a gift. And here I am again. I'm going to put it on as a gift. Not because I had a good day or a bad day, but it's a gift. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going back to put on that gift of righteousness, that unmerited favor. And yet the favor is there. That grace and that gift of righteousness. That righteousness not only makes you right before God, but that righteousness did a work in your very spirit. It says there for the 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. And I love how Romans 6 kind of doubles down on that. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Amen. Not only have I been made righteousness, not only do I have this gift of righteousness, but I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All has become new. I'm not a bad person trying to be good. I'm a child of God being who I am. There's a huge difference. You're identifying with the new creation. That breastplate reminds me of who I am. Yeah, I struggle with sin in the flesh, wars against the law of my mind. I've got to deal with that flesh. But on the inside, I can consider myself already to be dead to the power of sin. Why? Because I am a new creation and the old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. That's an important distinction. If I'm going to stand on the evil day and put on the whole armor of God, I got to return to that identity and who I am. Yes, I'm still a work in progress. Like the Apostle Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended or have already attained or I'm already perfected. I still got room to grow, but I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching forward into who I am in Christ. As a new creation in Christ Jesus, I'm righteous in Him. I'm a new creation. Do I have room to grow? Do I have things that I'm overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony? Yes, I am, but I'm doing it from a place of already being a new creation. Come on. I'm changing the way I think about myself. I'm not trying to be good. I'm just going to, by faith, be who I already am and see myself as that new creation. That's stirring yourself up in faith. That's a big part of the armor right there. You're putting on that breastplate of righteousness because that is who you are. Do we fall? Do we miss it? Do we sin? Does it seem like that breastplate can get splattered sometime with our own dumbness and we step out? Come on. Yeah, but part of that breastplate of righteousness is a powerful provision. Even if we feel guilty, we miss it. God's greater than our feelings and He knows everything. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Do we sin? Do we miss it? Yes, we do. Do we have to stay down? No, we don't. There is a way back that is greater than our feelings of guilt and shame. There's a throne of grace that allows us to confess our sins and receive that cleansing and that forgiveness from all unrighteousness. When I sin, when I miss it, I'd kind of say, Lord, I'm sorry, I sinned, I missed it, please forgive me. I don't just do that anymore. I say, Father, I'm sorry, I sinned, I missed it, please forgive me. I receive your forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. I allow your blood to cleanse my conscience from those dead works to serve the living God. That's what only the blood can do. Yes. The word of God, as powerful as it is, doesn't cleanse your conscience from a dead. It provides that shield. It lets you know what's right and wrong. But the blood cleanses your conscience. There's things the blood can do that the word doesn't do. There's things that the word does that the blood doesn't do. This is why we put on the whole armor of God. This is why we can't be just one-dimensional in the evil day. You need to be able to have that whole armor where you know the blood and the power of the blood. I can't spend enough read five chapters in the Word to cleanse my conscience. No, it's grace. It's mercy. It's the love of God that I have a clear conscience. Not because I read the Bible enough. No. I mean, I can feel revelation and strength, but there's always something nagging. There's always something muted. When you come clean in your heart before God and you get your conscience clean, what happens to you is what happened to those Corinthians. Man, when they repented, it was a clearing. It was a vehement desire. It was a strong confidence that's restored. Because it's not just trying to be spiritual. The blood restores confidence toward God. You're confident toward God, not because of the mercy and the grace of God. That's all. But the blood of Jesus Christ restores your conscience. And it's only His blood that can do that. You're putting on that whole armor of God. You're reminding yourself, yeah, here I am, gift of righteousness. Nothing I did, what He did. I stir that back up in me. Thank you, Lord. I'm saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of ourselves. No one can boast in this. I'm righteous without a boast. I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and no boast. It's a gift. And that gift has made me a new person on the inside. Yeah, I'm growing up spiritually. Yeah, I'm learning. But I'm learning from a place of newness. This is who I am. Father, I'm learning how to walk in this new man. All right? And you don't start out running. You start out crawling in the new man and toddling in the new man and walking in the new man and running in the new man. But you are still that new man. Your mind, what's happening in those processes? Your mind is getting renewed. And that's really what the whole thing started out by saying. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man. You're still the same guy. You're still just as righteous. Your mind is just fighting you, though. But as your mind is getting renewed more and more, it's going to fight you less and less. And it's not that you're changing on the inside. It's just that who you are on the inside is getting more expression as you're getting renewed. You get in that situation where you always beat yourself up, but now I'm not beating myself up. Even in this situation, I'm still a new creation. Wow. You're getting a little bit more renewed. You're getting a little bit more backbone in who you are in the Lord, standing a little more firmly. And the enemy is roaring that always works on him. It's not working on him anymore. He's believing who he is. But no, think about this though. Everything we're talking about, is this making me devil conscious? No. It's making me conscious of who I am in Christ. It's making me conscious of who I am in him. If the enemy comes in and I'm strong in the Lord, I'm strong in who I am in Christ. I'm strong in the new creation. There's a lot of things that just isn't going to work on you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of roars you're not even going to hear. Come on. Because your ears are hearing something else. You're standing against the devil, but you're standing in the armor of God. I'm not living in fear or what he's going to do next. I'm putting on the armor of God. I'm getting strong in him and in the power of his might. And then, finally, the gospel of peace. All right? Your feet shod with the gospel of peace, the love of God. The gospel is the love of God. It's the power of God. It's the grace, it's the mercy of God that we deliver. And this was always kind of an interesting one to me. I think, man, here I am in that bubble with meteor and lightning and tornadoes, and I don't have time. You know, once the storms are done, then I'll deal with the gospel of God, right? But let me get through my deal first. You know, it's just kind of like, how do those shoes fit in? And they're right in the middle, you know? Why didn't you put them at the end, and then I could, you know, make a, you know, no, they're right in the middle. Do you know you can't stand in the evil day without the whole armor of God? You need those shoes to stand in the evil day. Those shoes are powerful. It's the love of God. There's a wonderful scriptural example of somebody who is in the evil day and he's got those gospel shoes on, all right? The Apostle Paul got this girl delivered from a spirit of divination, and this is what happened to him. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet with stocks. All right, get that picture. Get that picture of what that looks like. Of what it probably smells like. I wouldn't imagine the restroom facilities in the inner dungeon were that great. They were bleeding. They were in pain. It was probably dark. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself, we are all here." Now think about this. You are unjustly, he's unjustly beaten. You know, the justice system worked against Paul several times in his missionary journeys, you'll see. Paul didn't get his justice there. And what is he doing? He's doing what the Lord told him to do. And you think this event, when the door is open, thing, it's like, yeah, God's vindicated. Let's go, guys. I mean, wouldn't you kind of think, I mean, wouldn't you spiritualize the Lord? This is the Lord's deliverance. We're going to get out of here. We showed them, you don't throw us in jail. We're not here in the morning. Yeah, and look at the earthquake residue behind. I mean, I'm just saying. But Paul didn't go there, did he? Yeah. Paul's heart wasn't there. He wasn't there to be vindicated and spike the football and run out and get anybody in trouble at all. Right. His heart was concerned with that jailer. Yeah. Stop, don't kill yourself. We're all here. We're not going anywhere. Even though this amazing, miraculous earthquake loosened all of our bonds. The jailer called for the lights, ran to the dungeon, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Come on. Yeah.
They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. The agenda there for Paul was there are some people that needed Jesus. In the middle of that, not only did he not get bitter and vindictive, he was worshiping the Lord. And when that opportunity came, he saw an opportunity. He had his shoes on. In the middle of the prison, he still had his shoes on. He was more concerned about that jailer and his safety and his salvation. That's quite a heart. That's having the whole armor of God. There is a love that you're walking in. That love of God that gets you out of your own world. But I got a meteor, I got a lightning, I got, but there's something about the shoes of the gospel of peace. Paul had stripes on his back, but he had the full armor of God on. Do you know that many times the biggest dangerous thing you're dealing with in the evil day is your own victim complex, your own self-pity? It's what the scripture calls the sorrow of the world. There's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, but there's a sorrow of the world that will empathize with you in a way that will make you want to take your own self out. It's destructive empathy. It's a destructiveness. We need the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It does something. It causes our heart to look out beyond our situation. It's love. The Apostle Paul said, "I want you to be rooted and grounded in love." Shoes have a grounding effect. They're shoes of love, the gospel of peace, the good news of God's love. It works in that way where I'm looking for opportunities. If the enemy is working against me that hard, there must be somebody he doesn't want me to talk to. There's to see through the storm and to see two opportunities. Paul had those gospel shoes on. There's another way the gospel of peace works on us too. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, this is the gospel, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is the gospel of peace. Not only are we recipients of the gospel of peace, we minister that gospel of peace. Not only has this gospel of peace provided tremendous forgiveness for our own lives, but we forgive even as. You have the power of the gospel working in your feet when you are going to forgive even as. That's going to ground you. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Oh, do your feelings want to hear that all the time? No? But it'll ground you. It'll keep you from getting played by the enemy. What does the scripture say? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, unfortunately, you know, you'll hear that context of the wiles of a woman, you know, or something where there's going to be something that is going to be some situation, you know, where you might hear that. But this is the wiles of the devil. The devil roars. He's dramatic. And he's trying to move you and manipulate you. It's loud. And one of the things that'll ground you against the wiles of the devil is love. You understand? He's trying to provoke you to get angry so he can accuse you of being angry. He's trying to provoke you in a way you're going to feel so sorry for yourself that you're going to do things and you're going to, oh, wait, no, that's not right. That's not right. I got to put on love. I got to put on, this kind of goes back again to the belt of truth. But that shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace means you're considering others. I forgive, Father God. I forgive them. I pray for them. I bless them. I do good to them. There's a heart of compassion that's turned outward for others that's going to ground you emotionally, that won't allow him to play you emotionally, because that's what demonic wisdom does. It'll play you, and you'll feel so justified, and you'll get done and go, wow, how did I do that? You got played, but there's a way to not get played. You got to put on the whole armor of God to not get played. You got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's a love of the goodness of God. I love how Paul puts it in Philippians. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This is love. This is new living. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. This is good news. This is the love of God in action. Those shoes are love. It's the love of God to share with others. It's the love of God to give to others through forgiveness. It's a heart that's keeping your heart turned outward. Because this is what happens in those storms. Again, you've got a choice, you know, when the storms are coming. You're either going to fall into an area of God-seeking or self-seeking. The world promotes self-seeking. You're going to find the answer in self. Jesus says, no, the answer isn't in self. He said, if you'll lose yourself for my sake, you're going to find yourself. Paul said, set your mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's why you look up there to find it, because that's where it's hidden. You don't find it in the flesh. You don't find it in the sympathy of the world. You find it in the Word of God. And this is such an important thing, because the love of God is the thing that breaks the power of self-seeking. It breaks the power of self. It breaks the power of self-pity. Jesus said, you know, the Hebrew writer said that God is a rewarder. He's not a rewarder of those who diligently seek self. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's in him that you find yourself. You find the commonality of your human condition. And at the end of the day, you're forgiving just like everybody else. You're loving just like everybody else. I'm going to tell you this too. There's a favor on love. When you walk in love, you are walking in favor. And when you choose to walk in love and you choose the high ground and you choose to love, there will be a favor on you that's going to ground you. This is a big key. It's a big, important part. Because if we don't do this, we're going to be stuck. It's kind of like in your mind. Your mind is going to be on the same channel, MeTV. You have a relationship channel here. You have a health channel here. You have a financial channel here. And you'll end up watching the reruns on the Me channel. And the enemy will play on you. But if you're going to stand on the evil day, you got to turn the channel. You got to turn your channel to the gospel of peace, to others, to love. Get your mind off that. Love others. I'm going, I'm going to just love. Show me how to love. Lord, show me how to love somebody else in this situation. I'm already burdened enough. Lord, is there somebody else's burden I could help bear? There is an anointing on love. There's a grace on love, and there's a healthy ministry of love that keeps that victim complex off of us. That poor me. We need the gospel of peace on our feet. What is the gospel of peace? It's the love of God, and it's something you carry. You carry to the unbeliever who doesn't know God. You carry to those who've sinned against you in the form of forgiveness. You carry it to your brother and sister in Christ in taking an interest and a care about what's going on in their lives. It's a powerful, powerful way that we stand in the evil day. So standing in the evil day, there's a belt of truth. It's the word of God. There's a breastplate of righteousness, again, which is the grace of God, remembering who you are. That belt of truth, what is it? It's a mental accountability. I am going in to the evil day with an accountability. I'm going into the evil day remembering who I am, what God did in me, remembering there's always a way for mercy and grace and forgiveness. And I'm going in with the gospel of peace, my feet shod. I'm going in ready to love. I'm going in ready to forgive. I'm going in ready to look for opportunities that I can share the love of God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that's in this place right now, just the presence of your Spirit, Father. And I just pray, I know this is a trench message, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that the second sermon of your precious Holy Spirit will just break this down, Lord, in a way that each of us can see that no matter what that evil day is, no matter what's going on, that there is a way to be fully protected, Lord, by you. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is protection in this armor, that there is protection in the Word. Go ahead and let's make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I put on the belt of truth. I gird up my mind with the truth of your word. I keep myself accountable so that my mind doesn't get off. I take those thoughts into captivity and I reel myself back in to your word. I thank you for your word. I have a baseline of truth. And I thank you for righteousness. It's a breastplate. It's a gift. And I've received it. It's made me a new person. And I identify with who I am. I'm a child of God, being who I am. By the power of your Spirit, I put on the shoes, Lord. They're gospel shoes. They're good news. It's good news to the sinner. You love them. I can carry that good news. It's good news for me that I'm free from bitterness, because the same cross that released me from my sin also releases me from those who sinned against me, so I can stand in the evil day, ground in your love. Thank you, Lord, for this precious armor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, like I said, we're kind of halfway through. We'll get through the other pieces next week, but this is such an important thing to realize. When it comes to warfare against the devil, we are clearly commanded to put on that weapon of those, the weapons of our warfare, but to put on the armor of God that make us God conscious. I'm telling you what, when the enemy is working on my mind and I feel like I'm getting wigwagged off, I go back to the armor. What's the armor I need here? And I get God armor conscious again. I know people can do different things with battle and warfare and stuff like that against the devil. And I know there's different things that you can do in areas of forgiveness and different things like that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Victory over the devil is not simply solving a mystery of something in your past. It's not cracking the code and now you're forever free. No. If you don't have the armor of God on, you're not going to be free. You're going to be safe and protected because you've got the armor of God on. Warfare against the devil isn't meant to be a big mystical thing that the pressure's on. You'd have to figure out what did what and who did who so that I can solve the mystery of my life. No, start by putting on the armor of God. If there's things you need to know back there, God will begin to show you as you're putting on his armor, as you're beginning to look forward unto him. Looking forward unto him, he'll show you if there's stuff back there. But don't start back there. Start with the armor of God. Start with what you know will make you stand in the evil day. This is a known thing. There's no speculation here. This is a promise from the Word of God. When you put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand in the evil day. That's a wonderful promise. So when it comes to resisting, standing, we need to start with what we know for sure from the Word of God. And let the Spirit of God, if there's stuff that has to be taken care of, he'll show you what that is. You can pray about that stuff, but be going forward in his armor, God conscious. Amen? Praise God.